listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
So Kai and I are dating. This is way back in the day, and we're just enamored of one another. I actually proposed to her. We become engaged. Like, it's an exciting time in my life, and at the same time, I felt like God wanted me to go back to Bible school to finish my degree and wrap up that season. But the problem was that my Bible school was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So I was going to be 1,000 miles away. I felt in my heart like Kai was supposed to go to Bible school, and I really didn't even think it was supposed to go to mine, but like a Bible school. And so I really encouraged her to do it, but I said to Kai, I said, listen, if you don't decide to go down, just know I'm still engaged. I love you, but I'll see you when I finish my degree because I'm going to go down and finish it. So I'm kind of a nut. I realize that. But I was in that spot in my life where I'm like, I'm going to obey God. So Kaya, she drove down with me and her dad and a couple other people, and we were going down there to like drop me off at Bible school. And I remember we walked into the auditorium of where we had our chapel services, and we had that whole week together. And I'm like, babe, listen, like, I'm serious. You need to go to school. And she really did in that visit hear from God to come, but she wasn't going to be able to come that semester. And I'll tell you, for a guy that recently was engaged, it was so difficult because, you know, I mean, you're a little bit Twitter-pated. You know what I'm talking about, anybody? Like, to speak Bambi? Like, you're a little bit messed up over your fiance. I love you so much. If I don't see you again soon, am I going to die? You know, I had this heart for Kaya, but I was going to obey God. And so she boarded a plane. And I like to think that I'm like a tough guy. I don't need all that flowery stuff. But I remember watching her flight leave, and it hurt. I got back home to my house. I went to my bedroom. Like, I wanted to be away from everybody. I was messed up because I realized that I was...
all by myself.
Jesus.
Don't want to be...
And I thought I was a tough guy, but all of a sudden, I realized that I miss Kaya. I don't know what I'm going to do. And guys... The tough of us in the room, you might be the most isolated Christian. You're an island unto yourself. You need godly relationships. Somebody say amen. Amen. Write it down. Relationships are the key. They're the key to experiencing real, lasting change that we're all seeking. You know, you want to change and grow this year. You want to have your Christian walk grow, or maybe you're looking for a promotion or a combination of all. Be a better mom or dad. I'm going to tell you something. If you think that you can just like intrinsically do it all on your own, you need relationships in your life, and they are the linchpin to the whole thing. By the way, to finish the story and give my wife a little credit, she did come down that January, and she obeyed God and went to the next semester. But we've always had that experience. I'm just dragging her along. No. Thank God I have Erikaya. But I'll tell you guys that the relationships decisions that we make in our life, they're the most important. I thank God I married Erikaya because she's nuts enough to go and jump off a cliff with me. I mean, like, we've done some crazy stuff in our life, everybody. But it's like that with your friend relationships and the family relationships that you lit in. The relationship decisions that you make are massive. Write this down. Wise people choose their relationships very carefully. You should tweet that immediately, if not sooner. You know what I found out about wise people? They're very calculated in their approach. If you ever met anybody that was a good businessman and they built a business and it was successful, you know, those people, they know where their money's going and they know where it's coming from. It's not a surprise. You know what I'm talking about? And in the same way, you can see that in business, but it's difficult to see from a distance how people interact with that with relationships. Wise people are very calculated. In fact, wise people, what I found out about them, they're very comfortable with the word no. They're very comfortable with like finding the right things and even waiting a season of loneliness to find the right relationships in their life. Proverbs puts it this way: a mirror reflects a man's face, but what he's really like is shown by the kind of friends, and what does it say? Let's say it together: by the friends that he chooses. You know, every relationship that falls in your lap does not have to be a lifelong relationship. I've talked to people before, and they actually had some sort of like misplaced sense of religion in their mind where they're like, no, but I've got this relationship, and if I'm not Jesus in their life, then they're just going to fall away, and they're not going to be faithful, and so I'm going to missionary, like be a friend to them. And you know what I found with those relationships is two things. Number one, you're going to carry them their whole faith walk, which is not how it was designed to be. And the second thing is this, you got a Jesus complex, and you think that God has to reach them just through you, and he can't use anybody else. The Bible says that Paul planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. What does that mean? It means that some of the relationships in your life, although you might be a shining bright light in their life, they're not a relationship that you need to carry through to the next season of your life. You need to choose them. Choose the relationships that you let in. And so if they're so important, what I want to do is give you four truths about them. I think they're going to be a guiding light for all of them. First thing is this, write it down. Let's nurture the important relationships in our life. Write that down. Let's nurture the important relationships. Now, hopefully, we all have these in our life. And yes, we're talking about God and family and close friendships. But these relationships are not supposed to be even like important by default. We need to decide to make them priority. The relationships with especially your spouse, if you don't set that as a priority in your life, you're really going to miss out. See, these are decisions that we need to nurture these things. And every once in a while, I'll talk to somebody. They'll come down to the altar and they'll say, Pastor Joe, I'm in a really bad marriage, and I'm very compassionate. I'll listen. But the one thing that my ears perk up at is when I hear things like this, the fire is just gone in our marriage. Oh, gosh. When Pastor Brian's close by, he looks over at me and starts smiling because he knows what's going to come next. I ain't got any grace for that. I'll be like, sir, the fire has gone out in your marriage. Is that true? Yeah, the fire. I just don't feel it anymore. So if you had a fireplace and there was no fire, would you say, that's a bad fireplace? Well, no, I'd put some wood. Oh, wood. You'd fuel. You got to get the wood out. Fuel that fire. I don't know what you're going to use. Maybe some kerosene, you know, whatever. But like, you got to put some wood on the fire and stoke that thing. It's not going to just light up. Like, don't read into this too much, everybody. Y'all are looking at me like, really? Tell me more. shut up. Anyway, so that's kind of silly. Anyway, but we need to fuel the fire of our relationships. We need to fuel it. You need to put work into the relationships that matter in your life. If you've been like losing the fire in your relationship, that's just like your award badge for making it through the first year. Like, great, good job, you made it. Now you got to start to really work on it. There's a real big myth that's like floating out there in the air, and that myth is this, and somebody better shout at me if you know it's true, and that is, if it's a real loving relationship, it should be effortless. Bologna is a city in Italy, everybody. That doesn't make any sense. In fact, the most important relationships in your life will take such a disproportionate amount of effort to make them good. I will tell you that Kaya is the closest thing to perfect. But even being perfect, every once in a while, she's an angel. She hits me with those angel wings, whap, right in the face. You know, like her halo kind of like hits me. Sometimes it's hard to look at her. The light is so bright. And so we've had to work at even our relationship. And by the way, if you're like considering marriage at New Chapel, let me just tell you something that's very close to my heart. Don't get married to be happy. Get married to be holy. Because if you're doing it right, they're going to make you holy. you will have to face some character things. You know what I'm talking about? You'll have to face some trials and temptations. You'll have to face some unmet expectations. And when you blow through all of that, when you're doing it the holy way, the byproduct of all of it is happiness, longevity. You'll be fulfilled like nothing else, but it will take you so much effort to make a great relationship. Say amen, somebody. We need to realize that that's a normal thing. We need to normalize the effort put into marriage. And the most important relationships, they need to be nurtured. First Peter puts it this way. Be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. And above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Every once in a while, I'll end up counseling a guy and the wood, you know, the fire, like it went on a long time ago. And they've even found themselves in a relationship or they're considering a relationship outside of their marriage covenant. I think that's so foolish for many reasons, but two in particular. You think the grass is green on the other side, it's because somebody else is watering it. And you better put the effort into watering your own lawn, sir. I feel like I'm stepping on somebody's toes right now. And there's no condemnation. I'm not trying to do this with bravado. I think God's trying to speak something to your heart right now. I'll tell you another thing. You think the grass is greener over there. It's because before you ever came on the scene, it was well fertilized by a bunch of what took me about 10 years to get my dad to call horse hockey. There's a bunch of baloney. It's well fertilized. There's a bunch of baloney on that lawn that you never saw that's fertilizing it. And it looks like one thing, but you're going to be wading through something you're going to need boots for once you get over there. Say amen, somebody. Just speaking by the Spirit of God. Second thing is this. We need to restore, write it down, restore broken relationships. Restore the broken relationships. Now, this is kind of a painful one because we start to think about these relationships. It's like, my gosh, I really had a hard time with these people. Or they went out of bounds. How do I deal with them, Pastor Joe? And I would tell you this. Romans 12 says it this way. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone if it is possible. Everybody say, if it is possible. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Live at peace with all men. In other words, let me just release you. It's not possible with everybody. Some people, you can try to restore it. You can try to broker some peace there. And it's just not going to work. But what do you want to do? You want to be that person that's going to do as much as it depends on you. I'm going to take my step. I'm going to be willing to be humiliated and call out my own junk to have, for the sake of the relationship, some peace here. Now, it may never be the same again. Let me just release you from the thought that it has to be exactly restored fellowship. The hope would be that it is. But oftentimes, it's gone too far. Too much has happened. But you can broker some peace there, and you can move on. You can be a person that says, I want God's best in your life, mine, and I'm not going to carry this resentment or this hate into the next season. So we have to become people that are willing to restore relationships, even the ones that are very difficult. You know, it's even in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Earth is in heaven. Forgive me, right, as you forgive others. How can we forgive, Pastor Joe? You don't know what they did to me. And I'll tell you, I don't, but God does. And when you take that into the next season, you're going to pickle that next season. You're going to mess it up. Because you're going to be living out of the hurt that's in your own heart, and you're going to project that onto other relationships. You've got to forgive and let God do his thing, everybody. You've got to have a pure heart before God and say, you know what, as much as it depended on me, I did everything I could. And if it all fell apart, it all fell apart. But tomorrow's a new day. Amen, somebody? Colossians 3 puts it this way. Bear, and I think that's such a great word there. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive. Why are we doing this? As the Lord forgave you. You know, guys, I don't just forgive for their sake. I forgive for my own because what I've learned is when it pollutes me, it causes sickness. It causes a lack of focus. It distracts me from core missional things I got to do in my life. And I end up letting them take up real estate in my head. And the reality is that you want to be free from some of those things, but you have to make the decision, I'm going to be free. I do forgive despite anything they did. You don't know what they did when I was a kid. No, I don't. God does. But you can, by faith, forgive them, and you don't have to ever let them back in. You don't have to restore fellowship, but you have to live free. Can I get an amen, anybody? Can we just give God praise at New Chapel? That's what we need in our life. We need freedom there. I know it can be difficult because I've faced people before, and I haven't understood why. In every season, some of the people that have opposed me or some of the abuse that I've met in my life, I didn't understand. Growing up, there was a lot of that. And then even like going into high school, there was just opposition. It didn't make any sense. Going into college, opposition. Going into ministry, opposition. In fact, there was one guy that, I got to tell you, as a person that was abused as a kid, for me to say that this person was the number one abuser in my entire life is a pretty weighty statement. And it was awful because it was spiritual abuse. The worst, most, I was ridiculed, taken advantage of. Anybody else got the t-shirt on that? And I look back at that time, and it was so difficult, and I really, in some sort of like misplaced sense of honor in my heart, worked so hard to try to restore the relationship, but it's like there was such a disconnect, like we're talking past each other, it just wasn't going to work. So my wife and I made the hard decision, we're severing this relationship, which is the next point. Write this down. Let's sever any harmful relationships. Write that down. In this particular relationship, it had gotten so toxic It's not that God didn't have hope or in the great by and by something might happen, but at least for the season and possibly for like my life, I'm severing this thing because it's not right. Well, Pastor, that doesn't sound like the love of God. Honey, you don't know the love of God. God protects his kids. God has never called you to abuse. That's not the calling on your life. Well, what about some people are called to be martyrs? If you're living that thing and you're like, I'm a martyr, I'm a martyr, I'm a martyr, you'll know it. And that's not talking about a marriage relationship where he beats up on you or she beats up on you. God has not called you to abuse. I'm telling you right now, when this is done, run to the altars and we will protect you. Some of the men in this church would love the opportunity to try to protect you, take care of you, see you through and not see through you. But you have to have the boldness, whether it's critical abuse or whether it is a relationship where it's like, this person undermines every step of my parenting when I'm around them. Or this person undermines me at work, and you've got to have the ability to say, no, done. Is that the love of God? Yes, love protects. It guards. Let me put this in a perspective that all the moms are going to understand. Anybody else go into like mama bear mode? You know what I'm talking about? The love of God exceeds that 1,000 times over. And I'm not dissing your mama bear mode, because I know some good mama bears that, like, I want you in my corner, everybody. Like, but God wants us to be people that are living free in this world. And you gotta call a God in your life. You can't trek through all of that old baggage into every season of your life, allowing that person to be in your head. You are called to freedom. Say amen, somebody. And by the way, I'm not talking about your spouse. Like, if you're not in an abusive relationship, we're not talking about severing that one. Okay, so a couple relationships that I think are going to hit a little bit of us in the room. The first one would be this, a bad romantic connection. Heard a story about a guy, and this is so bad. He was disillusioned with his marriage. The fire had gone out, and he reached the spot where just like in secret, he created a private Facebook account. And then he even went on a dating website and did the same thing. He did this for months and found a person, and they were going to meet up. And when they met up at a common restaurant, he found his wife had done the same thing to him. Whew. Guys, I'm telling you, that's kind of funny and kind of like horrifying. And by the way, I'm your pastor. I love you so much. I'm praying that on any of you that are trying to walk out on your spouse because I don't want it to happen. Ironically, all the criteria that he put in the dating website produced his wife for him. Point to be said there, everybody. But God doesn't want us to be tempted in that way. You've got to learn to sever that. And so listen to me. And we always say, like, the guy at work. But let me just tell you, the girl at work, right? Either one of you, if it's going too far and it's flirting too far, you've got to step in and sever. I'm trying to help you guard your future. Say amen, somebody. Next thing is cohabitation. Guys, I am not a sin preacher. I'm a grace guy to the max. And even right now, it's not to be like, don't live together or I'm going to check on you, you know? I'm not your daddy. I'm your pastor. So what I want to give you is the word on this, and that's, it's not going to help you. You know, you might be playing house in many ways, but what I've found is this, is that you discount what it's going to do to your soul. And when you compromise at that level, there has to be something in your head that says, will this person compromise on me? It undermines trust between you and your significant other, much less the fact that if you're a Christian, you say, well, God's going to forgive us when we get married. Let me just help you with that. He will. He's forgiving. But again, you discount what it's going to do to your soul. You're going to give yourself a license in other areas of your life to make compromises, and it's just going to show up in a different way. Make the connection now. It's not something that you can actually maintain. And if you need a place to live, my God, stay here in the auditorium tonight. But like, don't go down that road. It's not going to help your marriage. And that's what I'm fighting for, is for you to have the most thriving relationship in your life where there's real fidelity and real trust and a real basis. And I'm telling you right now, there were times where I was, in fact, this story I didn't tell during first service, but our engagement party, Erikiah and I, just before that, we were shopping at the mall, and we went by a certain pretzel place, not the one where our aunt works, but another one. Okay, and we went and had a hot dog covered like pretzel thing for lunch because just on the fly, we were trying to get things for the party that night. Kai and I got food poisoning, okay? And so we had a great like party, but right afterwards, it was one of the first times that our eyes met across the room, but it was like a type look, the scary look, not the enduring look. And so we got so sick that night that her mom, who I'm telling you right now, like Kai had a curfew, you know what I'm talking, we're like, 20-somethings, you know, had to have a chaperone everywhere. She said I could stay the night there And I scraped myself off the floor, called a friend to pick me up. I'm like, I'm not staying there. You know, like, I'm kind of crazy. That might be like a high standard. And as a pastor, I think that you want that in my life. But let me just tell you, like, if you go too far and go down that road, it ain't going to help you. God wants you to have a thriving relationship. I'm going to step off your toes for a second and move on. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Well, Pastor Joe, I raised my kid in the church. They went all the way through. They went through high school. They loved the Lord. They even went through college. And all of a sudden, they got around a crew, and they're doubting God. They're not involved. It's a fulfillment of Scripture. If we're not aware of this as parents, and they're not aware of it as our kids, I'm telling you guys, you can do everything right, and somebody else can step in the last quarter and completely derail all the hard work that you did. I say choose your kids' friends. That's my, if you want to put your hands over your teenager's ears right now, I release you in Jesus' name. I'd choose them. I'd look at someone and be like, nope, he ain't coming over anymore. Why? I don't like him. Pastor, would you just say that? Yeah. There's people. Some of you are like, for real? This is so freeing for parents right now. You look at them and be like, no. I know it's just Hamburger Helper, but they ain't coming over for dinner anymore, I tell you that. Choose your kids' friends because bad company corrupts good character. How many else had like a pre-sex ed on the bus? Shame the devil and tell the truth, everybody. It's the people that we get around. Were you saying other people are? I'm not saying they're irredeemable. I hope they walk the aisle, so to speak. I hope they have a relationship with God. But in seasons, you got to step in. Nope, we're not going to do that. And your mom and dad, that's all the license you do. Just like, Pastor, why are you preaching this? I have a license to preach this. So, praise the Lord. So sinful relationships. 2 Timothy 2, avoid godless chatter, because those that indulge in it will become more and more ungodly, and their talk will spread like gangrene. That's a great visual, isn't it? What are you talking about? You get around sinful relationships, and everybody's a little loose-lipped. And in the name of, well, they're just my prayer partner and they're praying for it, we say too much. I'm not saying that you don't need somebody to be like, listen, I need to throw up on you everything that's happening in my life, and then I need you to help me make sense of it. It's okay to vent, everybody. But in the name of even venting, sometimes we're telling everybody about everybody, and you start talking about people, and you think that it's going to help you and you're going to go up. You actually start to spiral downward. That one little thing that they did becomes everything they've ever done, and the house they grew up on, and the fact that, you know, three generations ago, you know, their dad was inside a lumber mill, and that's how they're jerks. You're like, what? How are we doing genealogy to try to describe our beef with them? It's because you start to spiral downward. Your heart doesn't just get polluted in that one area. It actually spreads like gangrene. You become critical and offended in every area of your life. And you'll wonder why. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man. It's what comes out, Jesus said. So we got to watch that. What's another harmful relationship? That would be the abusive relationship. You got to step in, cut it off. I'll tell you, since that person in my life, that spiritual abuser, was cut off, you know what peace we have? We ain't friends on Facebook. And you know how personal that is. Cutting it off, I'm done with you. I don't want to hear about the good things in your life because it's just going to make my mind go and you're going to occupy realty and I'm going to go off on that distance. Let's just center ourselves and say, nope, step in and sever. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Wow. I've seen good and godly people in the name of the love of God and in the name of some misplaced sense of loyalty stand idly by and watch people in an abusive relationship in the name of God and stand idly by. God, have mercy on you. Be a friend. Be a relationship in their life and step in and say, this is crazy. Can we talk about this? You don't need to be in this relationship. Be a friend and help somebody in that area. Say amen, somebody. Number four, the fourth thought I want to share with you is we need to initiate some meaningful relationships. Initiate some meaningful ones. This is the awkward part. I'm just going to be very frank. It's going to take you taking a step. It's going to, hey, my name is, you're going to feel like kindergarten all over again. I understand. But you might see some people at this church that you're like, they got a great relationship, and we need to be around them. or they're so talented, or man, we just hit it off when we're getting coffee. Like take a step onto that. Our lobby is small. You're going to have to be intentional about this. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you're going to have to intentionally initiate. You want great relationships in your life. You want to have great friends. Show yourself friendly. That's the only way that you're going to initiate those in your life. How can we do our life by ourselves? Let me just help you. You can't. That's not really living. When you make yourself an island unto yourself. Hebrews 10 says this. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Now that's talking about the judgment, like when Jesus returns. Well, Pastor Joe, what if Jesus doesn't come back in my life? Then your day is approaching. Right. We have to live our lives with a sense of urgency and purpose that says, God, I'm not going to become an isolated Christian. That is, by the way, a myth of Canada and the United States, where we think that we can have a personal relationship with Jesus apart from the church. And I hate to be real frank like this, but there ain't no such animal. It doesn't exist. Jesus died to build something, and it was his church. That's an organized gathering of people for a common goal. Churches existed in his day for all kinds of different reasons. We'd call them like Knights of Columbus or the Moose Club. Like, that's a church. Well, in the same vein, this organized gathering of believers, we can't let this go. This is God trying to speak to us in our families and in our lives. You read through the New Testament. What did God write in the epistles where he's to the Ephesian church or the church in Galatia? And those were sent to a guy and conveyed relationally to his church. So there is no Christianity aside from the church of Jesus Christ. Can you be born again and make it to heaven? Probably. Why try to ask questions like that? Jump into the presence of God in his house. Say amen, somebody. Can we give God praise for that? Come on. So if we're supposed to initiate these relationships, what do they look like? The first relationship you need to initiate is this. You say this within your heart. I will develop my relationship with my church. And I purposefully had them say, my church. Do you know why? Everybody needs my church. Well, let me tell you about my church. And you're excited about it. And if you're not there, I hope that you find it. I hope that you, because you need to be sold out to this thing. Psalm 92:13, not in my notes, but the Bible says those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of their God. What are you talking about? I'm talking about my church. That's my home. That's where I hang my hat. I love that place. And everybody needs it. There's over 30 scriptures just in the New Testament that you cannot fill. You cannot see fulfilled in your life if you're not plugged into the local church. Ephesians chapter 2. You are members of God's very own family. Pause. This is talking to Christians. It's saying that your membership is in a family. And by the way, God is only the one that can give you membership. I can't give you membership. Your membership is in the family of God. But it presses on and it says, and. Everybody say and. Yeah. And you belong in God's household with every other Christian. Yeah, you're born again, but you belong somewhere. For some of you, as I say that, it sounds like handcuffs. But you're interpreting the whole thing wrong. It's actually the thing that will propel you like an arrow into the destiny that God has for you in your life. You belong someplace. You might have felt like an outsider at other places. Let me just tell you something here from my heart, from the heart of the leadership at New Chapel. We didn't start this church to be a Christian country club. Well, that's my seat up there and I have rights and privilege. No, 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 no. Church people. We started this church for the guy that felt like an outsider, for the person that was ostracized. Everybody was talking about him. We started this church for the person that's de-churched and the person that never heard about the goodness of God. And if you're a Christian along the way, praise the Lord, then you know well to serve with us and fight for people that are far from God. Can I get an amen, New Chapel? That's a good word, somebody. Hallelujah. When the Bible rates to us, it's making the assumption that we're plugged into the local church. And a Christian without a church is an orphan. And so, guys, I realize that some of you are just attenders. I'm not being hard on you. In fact, I dreamed of a church where people could just come into this place and attend. I think about Terry. I think I saw her this morning where Terry came, and it was a time in her life that just had a lot of loss. And when she came into this place, people were like, let's get her on the guest services team. I said, give her some space. She just needs to heal in her heart. And after a while, a season of just attending, she eventually joined guest services, eventually found more relationships, but I believe it's because she was in the presence of God. Nobody was trying to lean on her to produce something. I'm not trying to wring everything out of you, but I do believe if you do attend and God touches your heart, you'll go from being just a consumer to a contributor. I think God wants to take you on that journey, but I'm patient. God wants to see you through in that way. I think about the surgeon and the concept of what they do. Over at Butterworth right now, I'm sure there's a surgeon getting ready, and as he cleans up and washes his arms, that's like the last thing he's going to do on his own. Because when he walks in, he's just going to hold his hands out, and somebody's going to come up and pull on the gloves for him and put on an apron for him and make sure his hair's out of the way and he's perfectly sterile before he goes into surgery. And when he goes to perform surgery on someone, he doesn't say, I don't want to impose on you or pressure you. We have a no-hassle guarantee here in the surgery room. But I was wondering if you're willing, and again, if that's your gift, if that's your gifting, would you be willing to get me a scalpel? What does he say? Scalpel. What does he say? Suction. You know, I mean, like, he's not going, excuse me, if it's not too much. I just wonder what the Church of Jesus Christ would look like if we would stop saying this is Pastor Joe's church or I go there and say, that's my church. I wonder what would happen. Not if I could be a talking head and bark out orders, but if you could hear from God, cafe, and you just ran out there and did it. Stop thinking that you were less than somebody. If you knew some of the people in leadership, you'd feel great about your position in Jesus Christ. Glory to God. God is not looking for qualified people. God qualifies the called. He wants to put your feet on a rock, and why not here? Why not see God see you through? What do you want to do, Pastor Joe? Plug in. I want you to plug in. Attend New Chapel Connect conveniently. I'm glad y'all brought it up. It's after church today. Lunch and child care provided. And join New Chapel. Become a partner here. Number two, write it down. I will develop my relationship with godly friends, godly ones. This is where you're going to have to be very intentional. This is where you're going to have to say, you know what? I'm going to put myself out there. How do I know if they're godly, Pastor Joe? It's not whether or not they're perfect. It's whether or not there are people saying, hey, look, I got my own stuff, but there's Jesus. Christianity is two beggars. One looks at the other and says, I know where to get the bread. That's a godly friendship. That's godly friendship. Acts chapter 2, all the believers met constantly. Let's be like the early church, Pastor Joe. Perfect idea. All the believers met constantly and shared everything with each other. You know where this spirit is active in our church mostly right now? Is in our worship team. I'm telling you right now, if I walk in and say, guys, it's going to go long. It used to be an hour rehearsal. Those are dead and gone. When we go 2-3 hours plus, and you know what you see? You see the passion on people's face, and they're worshiping the Lord. You wonder why the presence of God is in this place? It's because you have some people living it during the week that you're going to feel it inside the rows during the Sunday service. Can we give our worship team some honor? God is working in your hearts. I love the passion on your face. I love the spirit that's in this house. That right there is what we're looking for. Hallelujah. Share what, Pastor Joe? What are we supposed to share in relationship? Share the real you. Mm-hmm. Perfect place to do that is in small groups, but I will tell you, people are afraid of, it's going to be awkward. Let me just help you with that. It is. It will be for you to show up. But how many of y'all know, like, first day of school, first day of work, anything like that, there is an element of like, what's going to happen? But some people are afraid, and unduly so, that when they get into the small group, everybody's going to know each other except them, and that they're going to have a chair dragged into the middle of a circle to confess all of their sins, and somebody's going to pull out the Sam's Club bottle of olive oil and slap their hands on them and make them confess all their sins. And I'm here to tell you guys, that doesn't happen until second semester. So get over it. Get over it. No, listen, we don't do that. It might be a little awkward, but take the step. And what's going to happen is somebody like Angie's going to say something that's on the edge. Everybody's going to laugh, break the ice a little bit, and you're going to find relationship, and it's going to be comfortable enough that when you're going through something, you're going to have somebody to be able like, hey, you have a great marriage, and we're kind of going through it. Would you pray for me? Yeah. And if you don't have that, my friend, I'm so sorry, because I do, and I know what it's like. Yeah. Everybody doesn't need to know me, but everybody needs to know somebody. Yeah. I'm going to confess all my sin to you. Some of my stories make me look really good. But I have somebody that I confess all my sins to. Can you be that vulnerable, that real with somebody? Starts with taking your church face off. Praise the Lord. The reason why there's a pull towards smaller churches in America is not because of the merit of their evangelism or how many people are going to heaven. It's because of the intimate relationship. But we don't have to have a small church to have intimate relationships. As New Chapel is growing, I pray that we grow smaller and larger at the same time. This is what the Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 20 and verse 20. Paul says, I taught you publicly and from house to house. Acts 5 and verse 42, every day in the temple, this would be a church celebration gathering, and from house to house, they continued to preach and teach. Church was never meant to just be in rows. We're not churching yet. Church is both rows and circles. And until you've done both, you haven't churched yet. That gathering on an intimate level is so important. Well, Pastor Joe, they just made up small groups like a couple decades ago. Au contraire, your grandma was in small groups. They just called it Sunday school. Were you able to meet in a smaller context, ask questions, be able to be real with people? Come on, somebody. The church needs to take its church face off and be real. The only hope of reaching the whole world that I think we'd all agree they're tore back is by us saying, hey, we're not perfect. We're forgiven. We want to show you a little bit of what we're going through. Come along on the ride. I believe at New Chapel, you can belong in this place before you believe. And that's been the strength of our message. We've won more people through that message of love than any other way. What are you saying, Pastor Joe? Join a group. Well, they've already started. Perfect. Like the other spiritual people at New Chapel that haven't gone yet, they're going to be going to the third or fourth week. You're right in time, everybody. Jump in, make a relationship. And can I tell you, it's not even so much what you're going to be talking about, though we've got some great stuff. If I can just get some believers next to each other, I think that momentum there, that is discipleship, and that's what's going to produce fruit. Can I get an amen, somebody? Hallelujah. Now, you want more information, you got to go to the website, and that's newchapel.com/groups. That has all the addresses, all the information about where to go and what they're talking about, and just jump in. Just jump in. Well, I don't have the money to buy the thing for financial peace. Just show up. There's a Christian around you. 10 to 1, somebody's going to bless you. You're at New Chapel. That happens all the time. Hallelujah. Number 3, if you have intentional relationships, you're going to have to make a decision in your heart to develop your relationship with a team. This is so missing. When I talk to people that were in athletics or maybe in band in high school, and then they get into their 20s or 30s, there's this thing that they're missing. And you can only supplement it with football so much. I mean, like, it's enjoyable to watch, but, like, there's something about being on a winning team. In a New Chapel, the people that are serving your kids and pouring your coffee and opening doors for you, I'm here to tell you that team component is something that's missing in so many of our lives. We need the small group setting, but it's a little bit bigger where we can actually win some battles together. Where when you see people get born again at New Chapel, you're excited about that. When you see people come in and they're first-timers and you know it, you're not going to call them out or embarrass them, but you're just praying for them as you hand them that weekly. You need to be on a winning team where we're together. This team, New Chapel, we start taking ground together. I'm here to tell you that we started this church taking on hell with a squirt gun. We didn't have any money. We didn't have any stuff, but we had a heart, and I want to see that heart rise up like never before in our church to see people that are far from God come to new life in Christ. Can I get an amen? Ecclesiastes chapter 4, there was a man who was all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with all his wealth. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. There's something about your faith, your Christianity, you will never understand until you begin to serve somebody who can't pay you back. That is a love of God that I can't describe or teach. It's something you have to experience. What do you want me to do, Pastor Joe? Sign up. Join one of the teams. What am I signing up for? I have no idea. Do you just pull out that connection card, be like, I want to be on the team, and figure it out. Yeah. And this is not Hotel California where you start serving in one area and you can check out, but you can't leave. We want you to be at a place where you actually feel like you're getting it, like it's working in your life, and we want to help you through that process. So sign up, sign up, sign up. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul prays this. This is huge. He says, we hope that your faith will grow and that our work among you will be greatly enlarged. They are not mutually exclusive. the advance of this house and the advance of your personal spiritual walk with Jesus. They're not distantly linked. They're integrally linked. You cannot separate them. When this house goes higher, you're going to go higher, and you're part of making this thing go to the next level in Jesus' name. Can I get an amen? Amen. Number four, write this down. I will develop my relationship with God. You're going into a new year. And some of you, your New Year's resolution was, I'm going to give it the college try. I'm going to jump into this thing, and I'm going to get back to church. And we had bad weather, and then you came for the second week, and maybe this is the first time back in a while. You know, God is not holding any of that against you. Oh, I kind of feel like I already messed it up. January isn't like a center of the universe date, like calendar for God. He's God. And he's a God that doesn't offer second chances. He's the God that offers brand new beginnings. And that's not just for January. And so if you're like, I wanted to take a step in my faith, but I kind of messed up the beginning. So I'm here today. I don't know what this is. Jump in. Full steam. Because God wants to speak to you. God wants to meet you right where you are. Some of you, and I think I'm saying this by the Spirit of God, you had an experience of God when you were much younger. And right afterwards, you would say that I'm on fire for God. And that went out a long time ago. And you've spent all but a lifetime trying to search for that one feeling. Feelings follow decisions. Now that you're grown, you're going to have to make a concrete decision to pursue him. And the feels that you're looking for are going to flood in. Let me flip the script on you. When you made the decision to follow Christ in the first place, that's when the feels followed. Do you see it? Now's not any different time than now's the best time, just like any time's the best time. Jump in with Jesus. He wants to take you to a new level in him. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. So many people want to try out God. And what I found is this, is that the godly opportunities that he wants to bring to you can't be tried. This year, we have our next move. We're going to be taking ground like never before, and I can't wait in the next couple weeks to give you kind of a state of the union and our next move and everything that we're doing for the next generation. And the teams are going to be growing. Right now, we're working so hard to organize our teams to make this whole thing really make sense on a Sunday morning, to put out something for God to be able to bless. I think about our kids' ministry and how we want to take the programming and the curriculum to the next level. I'm tired of orange, everybody. I'm ready for something spirit-filled. As I think about these godly opportunities, it can't be something that you try like a snack at a party. If you want all of God, you're going to have to jump in. So you want me to do, Pastor Joe? I don't want you to miss godly opportunities in 2020. Write this down. 2020 will be the best year of your life if it's the best year spiritually. If you say, you know what, I'm not all that in a bag of chips, but I'm going to jump into the house of the Lord. I want to experience everything that God has for me. It's going to be the best year you've ever had. And that connection that we're looking for is a real connection, right? We don't want something that's fake or something that says this is very loose leaf. We want a real connection with Jesus. Jeremiah 29 says exactly what it's going to look like. If you look for me, God says, wholeheartedly, you're going to find me. That's God's call on you. He wants you to initiate right relationships. I can't think of a better one to start with than your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you came in here and that's you, like you're kind of chewing on this a little bit, maybe you had a relationship with God, or maybe you didn't. The only way to make peace with God is through his only son, Jesus. The Bible says when you call him Lord, what does that mean? Boss. It means that you get tired of running your own life the way you think it should be, and you finally put it in God's hands. When you get to that spot and call Jesus Lord, the Bible says that you'll be saved. You'll have an eternity in heaven. You'll avoid a Christless hell. But eternal life doesn't start when you die. That Spirit of God will come into your heart this very moment. But it's found when you say this prayer and mean it sincerely from your heart. People all around you are going to agree with you in prayer because either they've said this prayer in the past or they're saying it as a declaration of their faith. So if you say it loud and proud, the Bible says you will be saved. New Chapel, pray this prayer with me. Pray, Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you today in search of a new way. You said in your word, if I would call Jesus Lord, I would be saved. Jesus, I now call you Lord. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean of all unrighteousness. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for making all things new. Thank you for godly relationships. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can we give it up for those people that accepted Christ in here? Proud of you.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.